You might like to turn in your Bible to the Gospel of John and chapter 17. And perhaps we can look to the Lord in a word of prayer. And our God and Father, we thank you for thy word that is able to enlighten and to encourage, God, that we would have the benefit of being in your presence, in your grace, to honor your mercy. And our Father, we thank you. In Christ's name, amen. In our study, the Gospel of John, chapter 17, as we're coming to the end of the upper room before he goes out to the garden and to the cross. And in the process, he's helping the believers understand the relationship they need to have to enjoy God, the relationship that God had in mind when he created humans in his image and in his likeness, to be able to enjoy God and know God. That was the whole point, to know him. Now, so in the process of that, as we talk about knowing God and this oneness that we've been looking at, God's intended oneness, ask yourself how much God knew about you before you were ever born. Before you were ever created, God knew all about you. What do you think he didn't know? How's that? What do you think God didn't know about you before you were ever created? He knew it all. What do you think God knowed? What do you think about God knows about you? When he hung on the cross, when he went to the cross, he didn't go for himself. He died for every human being. When he went to the cross and was bearing your sin and mine, how much did he know about you? What did he really know about you? You see. Now, so when you receive the Lord as your Savior, how much does God know about you? He already knew about you. And he died for you. He knows all about you. So, looking at oneness and all of that as we do this, so we're trying to have a sense of God in our human earthly bodies, as we go by our senses, sight, touch, and all of these different things. And we go by that. God. God in his invisible, awesome person. How much do we know? We don't know hardly anything. It's hard for us to understand that we don't even understand ourselves. And God knows. So when you receive the Lord as your Savior, God, and you say, well, I don't feel anything. No, you don't. Nothing's different. Ah, but it is. You have a relationship when you receive the Lord as your Savior. You have a relationship to God that if anyone knows you, he does. And to bring that relationship into the fullness of what God already knows, and he died on the cross to make possible. So, the whole arrangement, use another way to say it. You're born physically. You're born physically, you become aware psychologically after a little bit of time. You have to be a little baby for a little bit, and then you wake up mentally and all that stuff. And in the process, when you do that, when you understand that, you have to grow. How much did you know when you were 3 months old? How much did you understand about anything? What did you have to do? You had to grow. But what are you doing? You're developing that knowing that you're capable of knowing because you're physically born, therefore you physically can grow and know. When you get saved, God saves you. He knows you. It's a wonderful thing. God saves you in a wonderful way. He knows you. You're saved, you gotta what? Grow. You gotta grow to know. You gotta grow. Little baby has to grow to know. What do we have to do? To grow. But if we don't grow, we don't know. Therefore, John 17. As we looked at all the verse 21 to 24 and through that. Now, I'm going to go to verse 26 and go backwards and then forwards. Now, and the Lord said at the end, as he ends the prayer, before he goes out to the garden, and I have declared unto them thy name and will declare it. So in the process, as we look to God, God is going to go and perfect, which you read in verse 22, verse 23. God is going to go and perfect a unique oneness. What is he doing? He's perfecting, it's perfect tense. He is perfecting something. When you get saved, the oneness has to be developed. There's not more oneness. It's the development of oneness. It's the development of the relationship. That's what it is. You're outworking, like the little baby growing, you're outworking to know the relationship because you received him as your Savior. That's what you're doing, looking to God. It's a perfecting, perfect, complete, finished, wanting nothing. God has one wonderful plan in mind to outwork it. I have to be saved to begin the plan, and I have to stay with it in to have it outwork itself in my life so that I understand it. The outworking of the oneness with God, his word, his will, his ways, his works. The outworking of the relationship. Verse 26, I have declared, I have made know, the word declare, to know. The word know here in this case is the knower is knowing, and the person knowing is knowing, and the knowing is knowing the person. His two people, this person's knowing this person, this person. This person is at the same time knowing this person. It's a knowing going both ways. Knowing. That kind of know. That's a relationship. Knowing. That's the word. Now, I have declared unto them thy name. I have made known thy name. That wonderful person, thy name, nature, essence, being, in your unique oneness, three in one, one in three, known. Therefore, and you'll see it, just to see how it goes, chapter 17, to the word declare, I have declared, verse 26, and will declare it. I did it, I'm going to keep doing it. Okay, chapter 17, verse 3. To 17 and verse 3. This is eternal life, that they might know. There's your little verb, to know. That's the purpose, to know. I will declare. So what you read at the end, verse 26, is picking up at the beginning, as it were. Verse 3. This is eternal life, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. Wonderfully knowing. And who knows? Well, the person's to know with the objective that the world might know. That's the whole point. That you ought to be a witness, to be a testimony, to be an example. That it is possible that God has the possible to be saved. It's possible to know him and enjoy him in a most wonderful, wonderful way. Chapter 17, if I can, in verse 25, And you'll notice in chapter 17, and in, well, O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me. It's a knowing, a wonderful, wonderful interacting of knowing. Chapter 14, you'll see it again. Knowing, it's an into knowing. Chapter 14. To 14, in verse 7, our Lord said it, chapter 14. If you had known me, you should have known my Father also. And from henceforth you know him and have seen him. Knowing, that's a relationship that we're to have to God. God made himself known to the human heart. He died for them. That's why we mention again and again Romans 1 and 18 to 28 in that. God lets himself be known to every human being born on the face of the earth. And you'll understand that better and better, more and more. No wonder he does that. Why? Because he created them. He died for them. So when he created and died for them, he's got to know them. And he introduces himself to the little kid. Mother and father don't have to do it. Brother and sister don't have to do it. The system doesn't do it. The government doesn't do it. God does it. God makes himself known. Why not? Because God's God. No one else made us. No one else cares like God does. God has the plan, not us. We don't have any plan. Our system is the wrong system, as you'll see. Now, having picked up that little bit and knowing, and we're to be knowing. And I'll do it one other place to lock it in. Over to 1 John. And in 1 John, if I can, you'll catch it. Why not? A little bit in the beginning. Chapter 2, 1 John, chapter 2. I'm going to go, if I can, verse 2. And he is the propitiation, the satisfaction for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. And hereby we do know, there's your little word you're looking at, knowing, the knower is knowing the knower, and the knower is knowing the knowing. How's that? Now, verse 3, and hereby do we know that we know him if we keep his commandments. Again, verse 4, he saith, I know, he that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, the truth is not in him. Verse 5, but whoso keepeth the word, in him verily is the love of God perfected, going to keep reading that, it's outworking the wonderful perfection, this oneness, verse 4, 5, is the love of God perfected? Hereby know we that we are in him. Verse 6, he that saith he abideth in him ought himself also to walk even as he walked. Wonderfully, wonderfully looking to God to outwork his wonderful will. So we're looking to God to outwork as we grow and know. So when you come to the end, John again adds to us, chapter 5, 1 John chapter 5, and you recall he's going to tell us that which we ought to be knowing. Verse 20. And we know that the Savior is come and hath given unto us an understanding. What for? That we may know him that is true. We are in him that is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. What do you need to know? You need to know the relationship has to be outworked. It's a wonderful thing. When you get saved, the relationship commences. All it is that you already got the physical birth and you're alive. You have to grow up. You get spiritual birth and you're alive and you got to go and develop it and grow in it and understand it. God will make it known in a most wonderful, wonderful way. Therefore, we need to go back over to John and chapter 17. I will declare, verse 26, thy name, and I'm going to declare it in a most wonderful way. So the Spirit of God is going to let his name be known. What is the name of God? I am that I am. What does it mean to know his name, to be declared? You read it in verse 8. They have known me, and as you read that. They have known. They know me. What is it to know? Eternal life is to know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. So God, to know, to believe that he is, to enjoy a wonderful knowing, and to perfect and having perfected, being in oneness, you're able to go and practice growing up. So you can go to the 5-year-old, 6-year-old, 10 years old, 20 years old, you can grow up. Why? Because I'm learning, I'm knowing. It's because I have life that I can grow up physically. It's because I have spiritual life, I can grow up before God and believing in his name that he is his word. He is the word. I received Christ, the word became flesh, John 1:14, and dwelt among us. I received God's word. He's the word. And therefore, I have all the words. Over to John chapter 6 again. When I received the Lord as my Savior, I received the Word. He is the Word. How are we going to learn from the words that God gives us in his Word? We're going to learn the Word from the words in the Word which God has given. So therefore, verse 63, it is the Spirit that quickeneth, makes alive. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. God's spirit. Where are the words coming from? From God's awesome, awesome, wonderful person. Now, in order to see that, you know all those little bit, keeping that in mind, God's word. So where's the Spirit of God is going to bring the Word of God. That's what he's going to do. If I bring the Word of God, you and I can take the words, literally in the English or whatever. We take the words, we can write them down on a piece of paper, and where I meant piece of paper, and put the paper down, and we could even memorize them and forget them. But we aren't talking about that word. We aren't talking about the word. We're talking about the words that you're reading. Are pregnant, full of where they come from. They came from the Word, and the Word, and those words that he speak are full of life. Those words are full of life. So that it isn't. So the words, it just isn't like a reading a letter, and you can read the bulletin. Read the bulletin and put the bulletin down. But the words that God is doing, the Word, it's like a plant in the ground, in your heart, and it's growing and growing, and it's rooted down and growing up. That's what it's doing. It's locking in. So the words aren't just words I put aside. The words are able to give me a knowing, a perfecting, a completing, in order for me to grow up and know, in order to know, be knowing. Third grade is one thing. Fifth grade is another thing. I'm learning. I'm knowing something I didn't know. It's an awesome thing. Now, having said that, first, easy to see it, so you see it. 1 Corinthians and chapter 2. And in 1 Corinthians in chapter 2, picking up, if I may, I'm looking, the word spirit, the words are spirit and life. Spirit and life. Now, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, picking up, please, if I can, verse 9, because I enjoy that so much. About as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. They're prepared for them that love him. And the way I use the illustration, you can probably give it to me. But there's the ship, pulls up to the dock, and it needs to be loaded with a cargo. And the ship pulls up to the dock, and the ship's there, and you're to get on board that ship full of all the cargo, all the stuff that you need, and you board the ship, get on board the ship in order to sail. When you set out across, do we have enough eggs for 3 weeks from now, you see? What are we doing? We're going to have everything we need for the trip. God, how are we going to have everything for the trip? You boarded my ship. The ship is loaded. It's prepared for you, for everything that you're ever going to need on the trip across down the sea, through the sea of life. You're going to need to do it. Now, having said that, then, verse 10, but God hath revealed them. So all these things, I don't know what I have. I don't know what's on the ship. I don't know what's there. I don't know what's there. When I was in the service or whatever you call the thing, the ship, I wondered where they got it. I never asked. I used to like to eat in the ship when it was sitting still. And in the process, I wondered where they got it. We were out in the North Atlantic or something out there. And so in the process, I'd say, hey, where do we get all these potatoes? You know, and I used to have to peel potatoes, so I know. But so here's the eggs, everything. If we're out there for a long time, don't we run out of food? Where do you guys keep the food? I never saw the refrigerator. I never got to the refrigerator. They have all that stuff. The ship's fully prepared to take you, when you're saved, down the corridor of time. It's fully loaded. God doesn't have to add anything. There's nothing missing. There's no moment, no day, no hour of your life that He hasn't equipped you for the journey. There's no such thing. Do you understand that? Therefore, household, I don't know, but God does. That's the point. This word's a spirit. God, the Holy Spirit, it gives them life. Chapter 1 Corinthians 2, verse 10. For God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of man? We already know each other, save the spirit of man, which is in him. We understand humans because we're human. Even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Who understands what God except, who can understand God except God? Verse 12. Now, we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that purpose we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Well, God has all of it's there. Verse 13, where are we going to understand this? How? Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. We're comparing Genesis with Revelation, Revelation with Ezekiel. What are we doing? That's where I'm going to get it. Where am I going to get my answers? I'm not going to get them. Encyclopedia Britannica is wonderful. All of those, one I have them. They're wonderful. But they can't compete with God's Word. I can read all of those things, but I'm not going to, I could know where, how high Mount Everest is or something. But that isn't enough. No, I need to know God. I need to know my relationship to God. What am I doing on earth? I'm out working the relationship, the life. I received, this is eternal life, to know Thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, and Thou hast sent. I'm out working what? My life. That's what I'm doing. I'm not going to work. I have to go to work. I have to wash the dishes. I have to do all these things, school, work, everything we have to do. That's true. But that isn't why what you're doing. You're doing that. In the process, you'll be doing it. You're outworking a relationship to God. This, everything you're doing at work, school, home, everything you got. is all going to disappear. It's all going. It's only here. What you're outworking is that relationship that doesn't disappear. That this relationship is to get you to this one, to God. Now, and so God the Spirit does is the most wonderful thing in a most wonderful way. Now, you'll please note, back over to chapter 17. And, if I can, verse 26. I have declared, known, made known unto you, them. I have made unto you, made known unto them, thy name. So we're supposed to know God. And will declare, know, I'm going to keep on doing so that you keep on knowing. You're going to receive me as your Savior. I am the Word become flesh. The Word and the words are going to be there for the rest of your forever. That's what they're going to be. So you're going to grow. And therefore, and will declare it, that purpose, the love wherewith thou hast loved me, may be in them. Now, catch that, verse 26, the love wherewith thou hast loved me. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. I, Jesus said, my Father, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy, is loving me. That's what he's doing. Perfect love. That's the love that is loving you. What kind of love is it? It's the kind of love my Father has to me. Perfect love. That's the kind of love that I have. See, it isn't like anything we know now. So therefore, God, in your wonderful way, is to know the Father's love. That's what it says. Wherein thou hast loved me, that they love me may be in them. How can it be in the heart? How can God's love for God, the Son, how can God's love for God be in the heart? Because God's in the heart, and God is love. That's why. How's it going to be in there? Because I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. I'm going to declare it. I'm going to make it known to you all the time. The Spirit of God's wonderful ministry is to make it real and right. And this is my beloved, its Son, whom I adore thee. God so loved the world that he gave his what? His only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So God, it's a wonderful thing. Wonderful thing. That's right. I want you to know what? It's a oneness, a relationship. It's a heavenly relationship that I'm doing on you and earth for you here so that the world may know what? That God so loved the world that he gave his Son. And this is the Son, God's beloved Son, in whom he is well pleased. Hear ye him. Now, having said that, over to 1 John. And in 1 John, picking up if I can, and you'll note, 1 John, all kinds of ways, but we'll go by time, but go to verse 10, you'll pick it up. I'm going to read verse 8 because it's looking at me. 4:8, 1 John 4:8. He that loveth not, N-O-T, knoweth not God, for God is love. How can you know God without knowing love? How can you know God without knowing love? Now, verse 10. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be a propitiation, satisfaction for our sins. That's what he did. That's what we've been saying, trying to say. Verse 11. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man hath seen God. God's invisible, infinite. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected. There's your little word, to perfect, to complete, to finish, to bring to an end. God's love, his love is perfected in us. So it's being what? Developed. You're learning God loves you. That's what Romans 5, remember Romans 5, you read it, and you have the trial of your faith, and you go through everything, you experience, and you get hope and all of that. What is it doing? Why do you have to go through all this hard knocks of learning? School, first grade, second grade, third grade. Why do you have to do this? In order that you might know, that you might have wonderful hope, expectancy as you go forward, to keep going down. You aren't finished. God isn't finished with you yet. So you keep going down the corridor of time. And as you keep going down the corridor of time, God loves you. That's what you know. Romans 5:5. God loves you. That's what you know. But you keep going. God loves you. Perfecting love. Now, therefore, verse 13, hereby know we that we dwell in him and he in us, because he hath given us of his understanding, of his spirit, of the Spirit of God. Wow. And verse 14, and we have seen and do and testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him and he in God. And verse 16, note, and we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. He loved us before we were ever created. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. A unique relationship. And by the way, verse 17, and herein is our love made perfect. Perfect. That's right. Perfect. Why? We're going to have a relationship that goes from the first grade, second grade, third grade, 10 years old, 12 years old. You're going to have what? We're growing. We're growing and knowing. That's what we're supposed to be doing. Perfecting the being born physically. You were given a birth certificate that had your name in it. There's the birth certificate. There it is. And there's the person the birth certificate belongs to. See, they're grown. So that we're able to what? So that when you die, we're able to say on the stone, born, died. See, we got the certificate that says you're born and a death certificate to say you died. Without the certificates, they don't know what to do. So now, having said that, in God's wonderful grace, verse 17, herein is love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Why? Because as he is, so are we in this world. As my Father sent me, 17, 18, so send I you. That's what he's saying. What's the whole point? I'm leaving you here in order to represent who I am. How can I represent who I am? Because Christ is in you to represent who he is. Therefore, verse 18, there is no fear, fright and flight. Think of being afraid and running. Fright and flight. Afraid, running. Now, this is the same word that means, in the right way, we're to have a fear of God and we draw near to God. But if I don't have a positive fear of God, another positive fear. God, how do we escape God's presence? Think of Psalm 139 and all that. Where are you going to go? Tell me where you're going to get away from God. You can't. There's nowhere to go on earth. There's nowhere to hide. You're answerable to God. No matter how you cut the cookie, you're answerable to God. You can't run away. So what am I going to do? I can't run away from him. I'm going to get to God, and God, save me. You got it? But if I don't do that, I'm going to turn that same fear of God this way. I'm going to fear God, and I'm going to turn around and my flight, fear and flight, I'm going to run away. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to run from God. That's a negative. I should have been positive. So therefore, here's your word. Verse 18. There is no fear. That's the negative part. There is no fear in love. In love. There is no fear in love. But perfect, there's your word. Pest, isn't it a pesty word? There is no fear in love. But perfect love casteth out fear. Love. Why? Why? Because you're loved. You're loved. And you know all those things when you were growing up, depending on everything. If people love you, you get spanked. That's what you do. You get spanked because you're loved. You know, Hebrews 12, if I don't spank you, I don't love you. You're illegitimate. I only spank my children. That's all I do. Otherwise, you're illegitimate. You say, God never bothers me. Then you're not saved, maybe. You see. Well, God, here we are looking. So perfect love casts out fear. And when we love God, you know all these things, I hate telling you. I never ran away from getting spanked. I did. I had my junior high teacher, principal. We did something in junior high, I forget what it was, whatever it was, and two of us had to go in. And he had the Board of Education for the seat of learning. And we bent over, and he whopped us with a board. Pew! Got the board in the bottom. I didn't run away from the board. And I went home, and he called my mother, and my mother, whatever. She told my father. My father bought me, you see. No, that's what he did. I didn't run away. Why? Because they love me. They aren't my enemy. They're my friends. I don't run away. Love doesn't run away. So therefore, verse 18, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. The word torment means to be cut off. Punishment is used in Matthew 25, to be eternal punishment is the word, Matthew 25. Eternal torment, eternal punishment. Fear has torment, punishment to it. I'm running away because I fear punishment. That's what I'm doing. I'm running away, punishment. Perfect love has no punishment. There is no punishment. I don't run away. I get closer. It's harder to spank me if I hug you. You understand? Do you ever try that? Not now, because, but if you were yet little. Try, if you're going to get spanked, get real close to whoever's going to spank you and hug them and see how hard it is to go and do it. You see, it's a thing, it's a way out. What can I tell you? You do it. So, perfect love casts out fear, and fear hath torment, punishment. Punishment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. If you're fearing God wrongly, then you aren't going to grow. You need to be what? Perfected. God perfected you to get saved in the first place and to grow. Therefore, in the light of that, over to 1 Corinthians, and in chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And you'll note, in the light of communion, the chapter on communion, picking up, please, in verse 30. For this cause many are sick and weak and sickly among you, and many sleep that have died, if they don't honor the God properly. Verse 31. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. And so God gave us the wonderful privilege of telling you, did you do wrong? And you'd say, yes, I did. If you say no, then you have to work through it. But I did wrong. I judge. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sin. Is that wrong? It's wrong, God. It's wrong. I said wrong, did wrong, thought wrong. I'm done. I judge myself. All finished. I'll never see it again. Never bother me again. I'm done. I really did it. I really recognized, God, you didn't make this. I made this happen. Now, therefore, verse 32, but when we are judged, we are chastened, spanked, disciplined of the Lord, purpose that we should not be condemned, judged, condemned with the world. He that believeth not is condemned, John 3:18, is condemned already. And I'm not. I came to know the Lord as my Savior. God saved me so I wouldn't perish. God saved me from condemnation, judgment. Christ bore my sin on the cross. I recognize that. That's why I'm saved. That's why we're able to enjoy God's wonderful, wonderful, wonderful working, the outworking of the relationship in a most wonderful, wonderful way. Now, having said that, back over, if I can, to John 17. And in John chapter 17, picking up, if I can, in verse 23, I'm going back. I'm trying to work this a little differently. And I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one. That purpose the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hath loved them as thou hast loved me. That's what I wanted you to do. I want you to have such a relationship to God that's growing and knowing, so that you're going to be knowing and knowing, knowing and knowing and knowing and knowing and knowing and growing. What are you going to do? You're going to know what? God's wonderful, wonderful grace. And that's what you are. So you're walking around saved by grace. That's what you are. So someone looks and say, they want to say whatever they want. They can do whatever they want, however they want, whatever. But when it's all done, God saves me in his grace, by his grace. God saved me. Is saving me. Is saving me. And we're saying that. We're showing that. I don't know. That no one else can see. It isn't earthly. It's heavenly. It comes from heaven. It's for heaven. And that's why I'm here on earth, to demonstrate God is able to save to the uttermost whosoever believeth in him. And God is able to go. So I'm able to know that God, what? So the world can know what? That God loves somebody. God loves. But you say, God doesn't love, God doesn't care. Wrong. Wrong. God loves me. God saved me. And I'm growing. And I'm not, if I was the Apostle Paul, I could say so much better. Or if I was Moses, I could say so much better. But we're just us. We're just us, that's all. Just sinners saved by God's grace in a most, most wonderful, wonderful way. Over, if I can... Okay, over to Ephesians. We didn't get very far, but I hope you got a little bit so far to understand how it works. Otherwise, you don't. You know. Ephesians, in God's wonderful, wonderful grace. And you will notice, if I can, Ephesians 1:6. We are to be to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted. The word accepted, remember, is highly favored. It's only used one other time, Luke chapter 1, of the Virgin Mary, and highly favored woman. She was highly favored by God. Here's the word accepted again. That's the only woman. There's no one like her, but you don't worship her. She's a sinner saved by grace, Mary is. Now, but God, that was, you singled out that woman to have give you the birth for your physical body. And you've done what for your earthly church body? I have singled you out. You're favored. You're highly favored. You're accepted in the beloved Son. For what? To show what? Love. You are highly, no one else, Moses and all of them, wonderful as they are, they don't have it. The millennium, you don't have it. No, it's just now where God is showing his grace to a world that doesn't want to receive him, doesn't want to believe him, but man, it's so. And there we are. So God saved. Therefore, in verse 12, that we should be to the praise of the glory of his grace, of us who first trusted in Christ. Verse 18, we'll even do that. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, though are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. God has an awesome investment in you. That's awesome. We're nothing. You know, if I took this tissue, like years ago, giving you the illustration, and I was a very, very super duper craftsman artist, I could take this tissue and I could put a design on this that you'd pay $1,000 for, because I did it. I did it. Now, so God, what did you do? What are you doing to us in a most wonderful way? God takes just nothing, us tissues, and puts his name in it and his nature. And that tissue is nothing. But all of a sudden, it's because of what is it? It belongs to God. It's his treasure. It's his prize. He put his name in it. We're going to hang it in the museum. See? Precious. Precious. Uh-huh. The riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. And if you bear with me, let me get you one more. I got to have you leave with love. I don't want you to think we don't love. I don't do much for people anymore. I never did, I guess. But what I do, I concentrate on this book and getting you to God. You don't need me to counsel you, to care you, or hug you. I don't even do that for my family very good. I don't do that. I know I haven't. But it isn't me. I've been around people long enough. To play Monopoly and visit them 10 times, and what happens? Well, it was nice, we had a nice visit. You need to know God. I'm going to disappear. I can't do a thing for your heart. I can't fix your heart. I can't make you fit for heaven. Only God can. And that's what you need. That's what you need. And where's the pulpit needs to wake up? People need to wake up. That's what has to happen, and it isn't happening. If you don't get to God, you got nothing. I don't care how anything is. Have a big party. Do whatever you want. Love each other. Hug each other. You got nothing when you're all done. When you're all done with that whole thing, what have you got? Apart from God, you got nothing. I got to quit. I was going to give you the love part because I didn't want you to think I'm so bad. Now, Ephesians 3. God, what are we going to know? Verse 17. That Christ may dwell in your heart by faith, that you're being rooted and grounded in love. So God, that's what it's about. Absolutely, God help us. That may be able to comprehend, understand with all saints what is the breadth, the length, the depth, the height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that we might be filled with all the fullness of God. That's what we need. That's what we need. That's all I can tell you. Apart from that, you got nothing. And I have nothing. And we can call whatever we want and do whatever we want. We're going to end up going to the grave and leave, going to absent from the body, and God, what's going to happen then? Otherwise, it's just a piece of tissue. And you what? Throw it away. But when the name is on the tissue, that's precious. It's from above, for above, here below. Got it? Our Father and God, we thank you for your grace. Thank you for the patience and people and caring, God. And God, help us. We're just, what can we say? God, when we're all done, if we didn't get to you, we haven't gone anywhere. And we've got nothing. So thank you for caring. Thank you for loving. Thank you for your word. Thank you for perfecting that oneness. God, if not now, God, help us to get there. I know we're going to get there, God, when we go home. Even so, come, Lord. But we would like to see you exercise us, God, to develop and grow in the few moments we have left on earth. And our God, we're going to thank you very, very, very much. In Christ's name, amen.